and welcome to episode 11 of the Hey Listen podcast. We have been definitely very consistent in our content, but we are trying. So, how are we all? Giraffe.
Hello. Hi. Casual blood bowl listening on a Sunday afternoon. It is not even Sunday. On a Monday afternoon. With a giraffe. 9 o'clock at night. And cauliflower. And Dizzy Bess. How's that?
Yeah, great.
Radio host voice.
We love it. Collie, you've had a very busy year, haven't you?
Moved house. I finally moved house. It's taken a year, but I've moved house.
You've moved.
Etc.
We're still waiting for the girly sleepover.
Really girly sleepover, but then draft didn't come.
I tried. My ears will make an appearance.
We'll get part of you there.
Sorry, it's a bit of a trek. But for anybody not in the know, Cauliflower has been trying to move house for the last, oh dear God,
yeah,
more than a year.
About 14 months.
It's been an experience. So super stoked for it that it's actually happening.
We moved in at the end of November last year.
Yeah, just in time for Christmas, which was amazing.
Christmas is by the by. It was just in time for Dizzy's birthday.
Yeah. It was, yes. And we got to make pasta. It was so cool and so much fun.
We had some fantastic time. We made lentil bowls, meatless bowls,
yes,
and homemade pasta with a homemade sauce, and not enough garlic bread for Dana's liking.
I mean, to be fair, there's never enough garlic bread.
And then Tree's train got cancelled for Sunday morning, so that means she just had to stay till Monday.
I mean, we just watched loads of Doctor Who, didn't we?
We did, yeah. But then I made roast dinner.
That was an incredible roast dinner. I will rave about Collie's roast dinner for years because that was so good. Like, just the roast potatoes alone were life-changing.
I genuinely think it's very hard for me to go to number one, but I think those might be top three all-time roast potatoes I've eaten.
Yeah, definitely. I've never had, like, Day tried to recreate them because he was making Christmas dinner for his parents, and so he practiced and tried to recreate your roasties, Collie. Didn't quite do them. He overcooked them ever so slightly and cut the pasta. It was a bit too small. And then on Christmas Day, didn't quite have the same oven as, because it's a very small oven at his parents' house, so couldn't quite get it quite right on the day. But he gave it a good attempt.
If you want the recipe, join our Patreon.
Recipe will be on our Patreon, which will be
personally come over to your place and tell you how to make
them. Listen, sign up for our Patreon if that's an offer.
Right? I feel like that's the perfect charity giveaway, but it's got to be like a top prize.
Yeah, it's like
$1,000. Okay, but what cauliflower. If I go to someone's house and like they don't have an oven?
That's good.
Could you do it in air fryer?
Only got a microwave and a freezer.
Are you thinking of somebody in particular?
Since naming no names. No, but I think it's less of owning the appliances and more of not being allowed to use said appliances in that regard.
Nobody else obviously knows what house like, but Dizzy and Tree do. When Andy was here, he kept trying to come to the other side of the island.
It was like, stay away.
Why? What was he trying to do?
Who knows?
The kitchen space. Get out.
He was also like, because the Collie's kitchen is like sort of split a little bit with a beam, which like part of it used to be the outside of the house, and so there's a newer section. And he kept rubbing his head on the beam. It was really weird. He kept like reaching his head up. I don't know why.
He did it because I told him not to rub his greasy hair all over my Irish chair.
Oh, that is
he was trying to taunt me. No, it was fine. He didn't actually find anything on you. It was Andy taunting me, which I expect of him.
We've dived straight into the podcast talking about Andy. But this is probably an Andy day, mostly.
I mean, it's hard not to. So, Tree, tell us a bit about how you're doing.
Well, I went to this amazing place in the north of England where this incredible person cooked me incredible roast potatoes.
And what was it? 16 Yorkshire puddings.
Oh my God.
It was 16 Yorkshire puddings, wasn't it? They were huge! huge.
It was two each, right? So that's two each.
Yeah, but they were massive. They were like industrial sized Yorkshire puddings.
You do not get to come to Yorkshire and not have a proper Yorkshire pudding.
I had to show you all about the race they had, where they had people getting giant Yorkshire puddings and tried to run down the river.
Oh, in the boat, like the boat's made of Yorkshire puddings.
Oh, he's going all right. I feel like we were just talking before we came on about who's been playing the most Blood Bowl recently. Because Giraffe reckons it's cauliflower, and I have only got to one tournament so far this year, which was really fun, but I have got to one in the next 2 weekends, so
you've been to the World Cup, Tree, and we haven't even had a tournament since you've been to the World Cup.
That's the point.
World Cup?
No.
Yeah, we've not had one.
What? Oh my god, so then there's been the Chaos Cup as well.
Yeah. Chaos Cup. This is what I mean when I say we haven't won in a while.
No, Tree.
Why are we all pretending that Giraffe wasn't at the World Cup with me? Like, why is it just Tree was at the World Cup?
You came to America, it's the same thing. Yeah, but Giraffe comes to see us. The Blood Bowl is coincidental. Also, I come for the cookies, mostly.
We went to the World Cup.
We really should talk about the World Cup. Yeah. About
can we talk about that? We did.
World Cup so Blood Bowl.
It was Giraffe as team captain, and
then
there was me, and we had J-Lev and Shamba and Hendy and Insidious Sid, who perhaps I feel like most people listening will know a lot of these people. If you don't, I can't introduce you to everyone because they're not here. Sid's someone from the local Brighton League. Hendy is quite sort of.
Hendy has a great big bushy beard.
He does, to be fair.
And so does Shamba. And I mean, like, we kicked some butts, like, unexpectedly. Like, we were we're just going to go and be at a World Cup and have fun and play Blood Bowl. But things started happening. Like, Shamba made this big deal about, like, I haven't played Blood Bowl in so long. I can't remember how it works. And then he just won 6 games in a row. Just, we finished the weekend. So the World Cup is bonkers. It's 9 games in 3 days. And you're in teams of 6, obviously. If anyone should... I've probably gone, like, way too fast in, like, the deep end. But yeah, like, you're in a team of 6. And so, like, you all play an opponent from the opposing team. And at the end of the round, you add up all your scores. And so you get 3 wins, 2 draws and a loss. That means you win. If you had 2 wins, 2 draws and 2 losses, then the round is drawn. I don't even remember our record anymore because it's ages ago. But we finished on, like, table... We were in the top 20 tables out of... more than 100 tables. I know that. I don't know if you remember better than I do, Giraffe, but like
we got on a roll
in like day 2 on. We did. I didn't stop
incredibly well, and I get all the credit for being the captain and none of the credit for playing bubble, because I think I had like 1 win or something like that.
Pretty sure you had 2 wins, and second of all, like, the amount of rounds where it was like, if Giraffe can get the draw, we win the round.
This is why I have our game plan.
Strategy.
Yes. So we've got 2 team tournaments coming up. So we've got the one at UK Games Expo, Team Tackle Zone, which is Team 6. And then we've got, we've got 3, haven't we? And then we've got UKPC. And then we've got Europe, because we got tickets to Europe. And so for the first one for UK Team Tackle Zone, it's me, it's Dizzy, it's Tree, it's my husband, Dr. Tech Trousers, Day-Day, and Hendy. And the team plan there is, I'm going to draw, Dizzy's going to draw, Hendy's going to draw, Day-Day's going to draw, Techno's going to draw, and Tree's going to win. And then
where
does
this plan come from? Day-Day won Chicken Bowl last. Day-Day should
Master
be one.
Master strategist cauliflower. Day-Day is our backup win. Cauliflower, I don't know why you're not captain.
We've never won a tournament. Why am I?
I should have run. And so then we've got, after that, we've got UKTC, me and Dizzy and Giraffe, and then we had to find a 4th because Tree can't make it, and we were near Nando's, and you'll do. Yeah. Apparently, he's called
out some random dude from Nando's.
Giraffe's gonna draw, and Andy's gonna win with halflings.
I thought he's taking goblins.
I don't know. So the rule for the UKTC is you have to play what the captain says, and I am the captain.
Exactly. And then, as you said earlier, we have officially made it onto the list for Europen, not Euro Bowl. We are going as a Hey Listen team, which we are very, very excited about. Day-Day's team did also make it in, so Day-Day is also going. They were 13 minutes late to signing up. And when did you get it in? 3 minutes. We got it in 3 minutes. Tree did, yes.
So I will say, when we were getting ready to apply for Europen, we knew that it was going to be really busy. So we had two of us, so me and Tree went on standby on Thursday morning. We both got up early, ready for it opening. It was 7 o'clock British time, and it was what, like quarter to seven, Tree? Me and you were messaging each other. I'm ready.
Fingers on the keyboard
or something. Were you like, you know, you're gonna be like on Ticketmaster trying to like hammer refresh and get in the queue? We were.
So I think we should we'll have a chat about Greece in a bit, because that's a whole topic on in of itself. So we'll have a chat about the others first.
Our game plan for that is so Dizzy's gonna draw, Graf's gonna draw, I'm gonna draw,
ready,
and Tree's gonna win.
I'm not gonna come with you lot.
the breakup of Hillis.
And then we're going to win first.
I have an inkling. I haven't confirmed this yet, but I think we are the first all-women team in the Europe.
Woo!
Seems very likely.
We're going to be the first ones to win it. We're not going to win it.
We're not that attitude.
Stick to the game plan. Draw, Tree win.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's very solid.
So the World Cup, to finish that story, I took Underworld. Right. They're a horrible, miserable team, but they are very good. And I am not doing that again. I mean, not unless it's like really, really important.
I forget, what rank are you in England with Underworld?
I'm the number one Underworld player in the United Kingdom, I think, definitely in England. And I'm retiring on top.
So if anybody wants lessons, Tree charges very reasonable fee.
The thing is, like, there's no clever lesson.
500 quid an hour.
Lesson Underworld is like, remember everything like you might have enjoyed about Blood Bowl. Forget all that. Blood Bowl. What you're going to do is you're going to spend every single turn knocking something down and fouling it with Dirty Player. And when your Dirty Player gets sent off after you've used two bribes, then foul it with something else like a Snotling. That's what got me like a really good record at the World Cup, was just like completely leaning into. Just try and kill everything and then win against an empty pitch. And
well, hated you personally.
Like, I mean, I'm exaggerating slightly. There were some games that were really hard and really good games, but there were several games that were just like not even games, because you can just wipe an opponent's team out with that strategy, with that team, because you've got a Mighty Bow Rat Ogre, a Mighty Bow Blitzer, and you've got endless foulers and bribes. It's really gross.
I wasn't playing, but Collie and I were at Water Bowl a few weekends ago, and the rule pack was very much favouring
Star Player Bowl.
Yeah, it was Star Player Bowl, and of course you had quite a few Underworld there doing that exact thing, but with Star Players added on top of it, so it was even more gross. I think we had Bombers, we had Dribblers, I forget what they're called, but yeah, we had... Yeah, that's it, Dribble and Drool. And it was just, from what I could tell, chaos. And they didn't have, the winner was not a Underworld star player coach, thankfully. But it could have very easily happened.
There it is.
This one.
Number one, Underworld.
Misspelled Tree.
Cool.
And what's funny about that is...
He's not just behind you at all.
Yes, he's second place.
Yeah, but he's 10 points behind you.
I don't understand the points. The points could be made up, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what I mean.
That's genuinely a big difference.
That is a big difference, yeah. So there's 10 points difference between Tree and number two, and then there's 3 points, 5 points, 6 points. Like, the gap beyond that is not as big as the gap between one and two, so that is huge that you are 10 points ahead.
Here's the thing.
Do you think Tree's being a bit humble, right? Like, if I were that...
So to talk about it properly for a second, and then I don't really want to keep talking about them because I do hate them, but like the first few times I played them last year, I don't think I played them that well. Is it even last year I started, or the year before? I have no sense of time ever.
Your first tournament with them was the 18th of February 2023.
Oh, there you West go. Coast Quake. Oh, was it the first one you did? Okay, yeah. And I was runner up there, and I think I wasn't playing them that well. But like, the things that you work out with them, for one thing, like, be good at your one turns. And I will say, having watched the recent NACON tournament, my goodness, some coaches who you hear great things about and have big reputations do not know how to do their one turns. So know how to do your one turns, because they're very, very good at one turns, and those can win you a lot of games. I do think there's more to it than just fouling things out. I think the fouling things out thing is, like, I played one Norse coach who was one of the higher ranked coaches I played at the World Cup. And that team was fully pitch cleared by turn seven. Not an opponent on the pitch on turn seven. Now, they rolled some horrendous dice. Like, they threw their first block with the Yeti and killed it and things like that. But that can definitely happen. But it's definitely not like that always with Underworld. And the thing with Underworld, like, you can also, despite them having lots of players, chip away at them if you play it well. So there is something to it, right? And, like, four of my games at the World Cup were against other Underworld teams. So there was plenty of playing against that as well. But I do think you need to be really relentless with the fouling. You need to make it such a big pillar of, like, how you play, because in plenty of games it will just swing it for you. And I don't enjoy it. Like, I don't find it fun, because, yeah, I don't know, I wasn't a bash coach before, right? Like, I don't really like just wiping out someone's team, but especially doing it that way where they can feel really powerless, because you can just, like, it's not hard to knock something down when you've got Frenzy and Juggernaut. And then every single turn, there's a foul on top of it. It just feels a bit unrelenting. And especially on defense, where you just stop defending and go, yeah, just going to try and kill things, and I'll worry about trying to win in the second half.
So you're just relying on your one turn, aren't you? No, interestingly, because I've gone on that, I've got your all your record going back to 2018 here.
They're not all as good as that.
The power. Yeah, right? And there's this weird tournament you went to called the Dave Rotational. Where was that?
What?
Oh, I've never heard of that one. I think that must be a typo.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the one I've heard of.
Where was it?
Where was it? It doesn't say where. It just says the Dave Rotational.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
How to change tournaments' names after people have registered. Yeah, that seems like self-advertisement.
You've done the same number of tournaments with Wood Elves as you have as Underworld.
Well, I'm doing another tournament with Wood Elves. Two Wood Elves in 2 weeks.
Ooh. So what's brought you back to Woodies? Because he took a bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, I can't stand... I couldn't stand the Underworld, like, fouling play anymore. I got really sick of it. And so I just went back to what I think is fun, which is elf shenanigans. I didn't love them at Chaos Cup. And I think Chaos Cup wasn't a very nice rule set for them. But I think some of that is also just, like, luck of the draw, luck of the day. I think I had some really rotten dice on day one, which kind of ruined my enjoyment of that a little bit.
Yes, I was about to say. So tell us about Chaos Cup.
Yeah.
So, not to bring up Tree again, but you did travel internationally to play some Blood Bowl in the United States Major, which is Chaos Cup, which has some... interesting rules there. It's definitely a North American tournament with North American things.
We had giants.
Yes. And I didn't play against a single giant, despite that. There are 200 people there, and we played 6 games, and I did not see a single giant. It was very upsetting. Did you play against any giants, Tree?
I'm eating chocolate, but yes.
To remember the memory. How was it? Just the concept of... your direction of that you're facing being important is just mind-blowing.
It's a bit too much, isn't it? It's already enough to remember.
Yeah. And then where it's tackle zones, what does it do? Why is that big thing standing next to my war dancer? I didn't have a war dancer. But I did take elves, which was a very strange experience.
You had a really good tournament, didn't you, Giraffe?
I had an okay tournament. No, it was not very good. It started out well, and then I lost some games. But it was new for me, because it was my first pro elf tournament, but it was a lot of fun.
I was so excited to see you playing on elves, and we had, like, a little practice beforehand as well, and we were, like, talking about elves. It was fun.
Yeah. You guys didn't see it, but Tree played with my undead, and I played against her.
Ooh.
Yeah, with pro elves, and I've learned the wonders of the Daka.
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah. And then I, like, immediately implemented. I was like, oh my god, I had my first Daka. Didn't quite work, but it did work.
Did you have successful Dakas at Chaos Cup?
It was successful. It wasn't successful in the sense that it all went completely to shit. But in the end, I did wind, like, scoring at the appropriate time. So, you know, it's one of those. Let's just pretend I planned all of that kind of deals. But it was definitely an excellent time. And I mean, we had We had Streamer House.
Woo.
I think did a live stream from Streamer House.
You did, yeah. Tree, you did it, didn't you?
So late.
It was like nighttime in Florida. So how fun was Streamer House? I, you know, there's lots of things that I'm not sure about in Florida, but the fact that we could have a lovely cheap house together and hang out was really, really fun.
Funny place though, because it was, if you look at it on the map, it looks like it was like 2 minutes away walking from the venue, but it's Florida, and that's like against Florida rules that you can walk anywhere. So there was a fence. So it actually had to be like either a 30-minute walk on a highway or a 5-minute drive. So we had Otter. Well, incidentally, not quite because of this, we had the lovely, lovely Darth Otter, who is semi-local, pick us up.
The Otter!
Pick us up. And his wife. It was, we had a great time.
Otto was really sweet. I mean, you, Ranbad, was really sweet because we met him at the World Cup. But yeah, Ranbad was staying with us and Otto was sort of chauffeuring us everywhere. And Ranbad and I went with him and his partner as well to Disney, which was fun.
Was that your first ever Disney experience?
I went when I was really, really young, like as a kid. But I honestly remember almost nothing about it. Like I have pictures from when we were there of like my dad posing with Mickey Mouse, and I have this
not you posing with Mickey Mouse.
No, it's just my dad, not me or my brother. Like neither of the kids, just my dad with Mickey Mouse.
That sounds about right.
My dad, like, to explain my dad as well. Like my dad was like, honestly, people quite reasonably would make jokes about him being like Mario, right, from Super Mario, because he was like this very Italian with a big bushy black moustache, and I don't know how to describe it. Very Italian hair. He was very Italian. And he just looked the part, and like there posing with Mickey Mouse, he's like doing his little like.
Wait, but he must have been very tall.
No, he wasn't tall at all. My mum's side of the family are already tall. My dad's side is Italian, so not that tall. Said the word Italian a lot in the last.
But
the only thing I remembered as a kid, like honestly, because I was a super fussy eater as a kid, I wouldn't eat anything. And the only thing I remembered about Disney World, honestly, you'd think I'd remember Mickey Mouse or something. All I really remember is that someone gave me a churro, and I'd never had a churro before, and I was like really suspicious.
Ooh,
and I was like, oh, this is delicious. So that's my main memory of like childhood Disney.
That's a worthy memory.
So
I've never been to Disney World, but I've been to Disneyland a couple of times.
I've been once, but I went when I was a teenager, and I went as part of a trip. So I was 14, and basically the adults were like, as long as you're in groups of more than two, meet back here at 6 at night in the evening, just go. And so we were like, we had free reign of the entire park with no adults to tell us yes or no to things, which was amazing. Yeah, because it was part of my music center, and we went and played on the stage in front of Cinderella's castle first. Or was it Sleeping Beauty's castle? I think it was Sleeping Beauty's castle. We went and played on the stage, but we weren't allowed to play any Disney music, so we were there playing like the Magnificent Seven. I think Shrek's Dance Party came out, and a whole bunch of other random tunes, but none of our Disney stuff, which I kind of understand because they have like a standard of how they want their music to be played. But at the same time, you're in Disneyland. Like you want that to be what you're playing. But yeah, so we did like a little concert at like, I think it was like 9:30 in the morning, and then yeah, we had full reign of the park. But we, as we arrived, because we were allowed backstage, as it were, we weren't allowed, there were very strict rules on what we were and weren't allowed to do. So like if we the example they used for whatever reason was Donald Duck taking a wee on the fence, and it all, or it's like, of all the things you could have said, someone with that, you know, with head off or out of costume, you're not allowed to take pictures of it. But for some reason, the adults said, if you see Donald Duck taking a wee on a fence, and it's like, why? Why would that ever be something we see? It was very bizarre. But yeah, I can understand why they had the rule, but the example was just hilarious to us as teenagers. You can imagine how we reacted. But yeah, so yeah, that is the only time I have ever been to any form of Disneyland or world. Never been since.
We went once when I was about 11, I think. Was I that young? No, I was a lot younger than that, actually. I was in about year 3, so that would... 7 or 8, or 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember a reasonable amount, actually. I remember the chalet that we stayed in. I remember that we taken the ferry over, and we drove there. My dad missed the turning, So in the middle of the motorway, just outside of Paris, he's doing a U-turn. And
he did that three times. Oh no!
That's amazing.
Oh, how was the jail cell?
Right, coming through.
we did eventually get there, so that was good fun. I remember queuing up for ages to get a photo with Minnie.
Aww.
And I had an autograph book. It was just full of them. Yeah, it was great fun. I remember being like all excited. You know, I'm going to go on Space Mountain. I'm going to go on Space Mountain. You know, I was this sweet big kid. And then we got there and I was too little. And I'm like, oh no, what a shame. I can't go on Space Mountain.
You like roller coasters?
No.
Oh, I love them.
Never liked roller coasters. No. I hate
roller coasters. They're so much fun.
I've always hated the idea of them, and my parents aren't big fans of them either, so they never took us to a park where we went on roller coasters. So I got old enough, like, you know, being a teenager, so I was like, nope. Yeah. I'll go on the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'll go on It's a Small World. Yeah. They're fine. Like, water rides, I'm completely fine with, but roller coasters, no. No, thank you.
I don't mind the twisty-turny roller coasters. It's the up-and-down roller coasters. I don't like that feeling when you drop.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love... Well, so I used to absolutely love roller coasters, but they're kind of based on this premise that they're absolutely 100% safe, right?
That's the thing that I have an issue with as well.
Yeah, I went on that premise, like on blind trust of this premise that of course they're completely safe and the whole point is that it's like the simulated fear that's not real. And then I looked up statistics and I'm like, these things are death traps.
Have you seen that? There's a video.
All the time.
Have you seen, there's a video of this, you know, it's like one of those traveling fairground rides that like spins round and round. Oh, but the whole thing is rocking back and forth because of the wind, and there's all these people come running up and like grab the front of it to try and keep it steady, and because of the way the ride is, they can't just automatically stop it because everyone will go flying, so they have to like keep going round while this thing is like leaning backwards and forwards. And oh my, no, I as soon as I saw that, I was like, any doubt I ever had is just fully confirmed now, never going on anything of that nature. But yeah, we've kind of strayed quite far away from Blood Bowl, so shall we bring it back to the whole we are going to Greece? It's official.
I'm excited. We have our game plan.
Yes.
But it was actually, how mad was the registration process this year? Blood Bowl is freaking popular.
It's so popular. I mean, we got our registration, as we said, 7:03, open at 7. Mm-hmm. By 6.5 minutes past, I think they'd already got 45 teams registered, they said.
They had like 50% of it, yeah, by that point.
Over 50% had sold. I think they had space for 70 teams.
Yeah.
Over with 70 without including the national teams, the European national teams.
Yeah, and... It's been odd because they've announced it for a long time, how many spaces they had, how, you know, everything has been there for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if I remember them saying exactly how many spaces there are, but I also don't
they
know if it's...
they did give a number, and that was because at that point they said that national teams have definitely got a spot even for European, and that's what a few people were a little bit apprehensive about, because European is supposed to be open to more people. So some people were like, hang on, if the national team is already in the Euro Bowl, like surely they should have the same. So there was a bit of discussion around that, but
for people who don't know about it, like basically Euro Bowl is teams of eight, and that's like just national teams.
Yeah.
And then European is like something that runs alongside Euro Bowl, and it's teams of four, and in theory anyone can enter, although like Dizzy's saying, what actually happened is national teams had like a priority window when they could put in their own teams to be like there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was like having a B team, like England has Team England in the Euro Bowl, and they also have Team England in the European. But for some smaller countries, to be fair, like who couldn't get a team of eight together for Euro Bowl, this was like their equivalent.
They also got a dedicated space, so like Team Chile didn't get eight together, so they've gone here, and a lot of these smaller teams don't have an eight, so they've got the four. So are we saying that something that's supposed to be for the best in Europe, they can't come because they can't put eight together?
So for me personally, because like I say, there's a lot of discourse around it. For me personally, I think something like that is fine. But if you've got a Team England in Euro Bowl and then a Team England in Euro Open, I feel like that's a little bit more unfair in terms of like how many people can then go.
It's kind of up to the tournament organizers.
Yeah, it is.
Are they trying to run? And if, you know, if they come out and straight up say, this is not an open tournament, this is not meant to be a big celebration of Blood Bowl, which the World Cup was, this is more for the hardcore season pros, then I guess that's their prerogative.
But. Oh yeah, definitely. I just, for me, it's that this is definitely my opinion type thing. I'm not saying that this necessarily is the way they should do it, or, you know, it is their prerogative how they want to run this. But like you say, if you've got the smaller countries who can't get that team of eight together, yeah, that's completely fine that they come into the European. But for those teams that have got that bigger player base,
the idea of Euro Bowl and the whole idea of this European sort of championships is to play against the best of the best.
Mm.
So if we want to say that some of these countries that don't quite have enough to get four, to get eight, and can only get four together, they don't get to play against the same standards. I don't really think that's fair. They should have the opportunity to also play against the best of the best from the teams that can field an eight and a four. Fours, like Team Chile, they don't get to play against the best of England, the best of Wales, the best of Sweden, because they can't get eight.
But then if your open is open to anybody as well, then they may not necessarily get that chance anyway, depending on how I think like Giraffe said, it depends what they're trying to do with this tournament, and I think that's where the waters can get a bit of money. Yeah, and I think it's just that the whole issue that people had was like national teams are taking up spaces in the Euro Open where a lot of, you know, where it is supposed to be open to everybody as well, and so by more national teams taking up spaces, less people from like other areas or other places will be able to get in. So that's where the big discourse is. And so it's like, do they want the Euro Open to be open to more people, or do they want it to be for more national teams? And like that's the fine balance that they're trying to get, and it's hard. I don't think there is a necessarily this is the correct way to have done it.
Out of 94 team slots in Euro Open, and national teams take 20.
It's a little more than that. I was just counting it, but it's...
I've just counted. It's 94 teams, and I've counted 20. Be careful that you're not counting the ones like Team Wrecked Mate.
I'm sure it's more.
Team Gonzi.
9, 10, 11.
Team Wrecked Mate? Are you looking at the
I think it's like
right
23,
now?
But I mean, the point still stands.
Mm.
Like, yeah. What was interesting was Ulva, who...
24 out of 94. That still leaves 70 spaces. That's
yeah. Yeah, that is still a lot.
I don't have a strong feeling on it. I do think it was interesting, though, like Ulva, who was one of the organisers of the World Cup, in fact, was super, super lovely. Because all sorts of stuff happened at the World Cup that people have probably heard about in other places. Like, J-Lev had his bag stolen with his team in. And Ulva, who was one of the organisers, was just unbelievably like kind and helpful, and, mm-hmm. and really went out of his way to try and help J-Lev and help our team to be able to keep playing. But I saw him posting in the European Discord, because he's involved in Team Spain, and saying Team Spain like made a deliberate choice not to use their European spot, because they were like, well, we've done a Euro Bowl team and like we think that's enough. So, like, he said that, so like people have different opinions on it. I don't have a super strong opinion on it, but it's definitely been a thing that some people, I think, because of how it's gone, because lots of people who registered haven't been able to get spots, because Blood Bowl is so popular at the moment, in, or at least these big international tournaments seem to be. It's just like people are upset that they didn't get in. And,
yeah.
Understandably, yeah. They're like looking for targets for that.
I started looking at the list of teams, and when I went onto the Euro Bowl teams, they put everything in alphabetical order. And I got really, I was like, oh my God, Greece aren't playing in their home Euro Bowl. They put them right at the bottom. Wait.
It's because they've got the Zeus teams.
Yeah.
I also don't have like a majorly strong opinion on it. It's just that that's what the discourse, I think, that from what I could read from it was. But they have announced it for a long time. So it's been like public knowledge for a while that this is how they were going to run it, and then it was only when people started registering that people started really like complaining about it. And it's like, if you do have an issue, you probably should take that up earlier, like when it's originally announced, rather than when it's starting to affect you?
I think, because I'm quite new to Blood Bowl, and I don't know if it's just that I'm very used to the tournaments selling out. NAF sells out, NAF C sells out in an hour, Throat sells out in 30 minutes. The Bang Every Chicken Bowl will sell out when...
In a blink of an eye.
It will go in
a 2 minutes before the start. Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Remember these rules, they're so complicated. I've just started looking at the European rules again now that we've got our place. They're so
They're not so bad. We'll apply for that afterwards. But yeah, like Water Bowl sells out really fast. Welsh Open sells out really fast. I'm just used to the fact that the tournaments that I earmark as wanting to go to are going to sell out really fast. They're popular. And as such, I prepare
the UK
for that
thing.
Yeah.
Me and Tree were up at 6:30 on Thursday to get ready to register for this tournament because we wanted to be there. If you want to go that badly, you need to prepare.
Yeah. Day was telling me about what it used to be like and how quite often you could just rock up to NAFC and there'd be a ticket available for you, or you know, and like these things did not sell out as fast as they used to. Like I don't know if NAFC was the one he used or not, I can't quite remember, but that was one of the big ones. But like Water Bowl, there'd probably be like a couple of tickets available still that you could still like pay for like weeks after the initial point of registering and stuff. Like it was very much not this mad rush that it is now, and that's just a testament to how much the game has grown. But you need to, as a fan, as a player, as a, you know, somebody who wants to go to these things, you need to now move with it. If you really 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 want to go to these things, you have to get in as quickly as you can now, or the tournament organizers need to prepare for bigger ticket sales than maybe what they're expecting.
That was the one thing that was opposite on World Cup, and I think it's going to be such a challenge for the next World Cup, honestly, because actually, like, we did the opposite. We were super uncertain. It was only Giraffe sort of deciding at the last minute. She was just like, I'm doing this, we're having a World Cup team, and then like basically corralling us all. She got J-Lo in, and then I said yes, and then we were like running around trying to see who we could get to make a team. But that was because they kept expanding and expanding because they'd founded like a massive venue. So we were way after the original deadlines, but they just, because there's so much interest and because they happened to have an amazing venue, it was a really great venue.
The thing is, those kind of venues don't come cheap. And what you've got to balance this is that people are coming from all over the world. They've got to fly there. They've got to find somewhere to stay. They've got to eat while they're there. They've got to do all those things. You can't make it too expensive, otherwise people aren't going to be able to go. And if you can't make it too expensive, you can't make it huge.
That's something Andy's been wrestling with for his tournament this year, hasn't it? Like trying to work out what's an appropriate price point. And I worry with Andy, like he wants to give out all sorts of fun freebies. And I don't know if it's just because I've been to a bunch of tournaments and so I've already got loads of freebies. I'm like, Andy, don't worry about the freebies. People just want to like be at a tournament that's got you there and has got fun games of Blood Bowl to play.
Because sometimes, you know, what if you book a giant venue and nobody shows up and now you're out all this money too?
That's
not a thing anymore.
That's not a thing anymore. And it is, they always sell out. The World Cup was always going to have really good attendance. Euro Bowl was always going to have really good attendance. NAFC always sells out. Thrud always sells out. You could easily get a bigger venue for these things and still come.
Nothing does need a bigger venue, because that was all gone in no time at all, and that's like a national big tournament.
I think we're again making the assumption that that's what they want. Maybe the goal is to have, because I think people really want to have these like best of the best, cream of the crop tournaments. There's two types of tournaments. Like, everybody's welcome, we are Blood Bowl, we're a welcoming community, you know, don't worry, you'll have fun, and we just want the biggest event ever. I think that was the World Cup, which was amazing. And then there's the, we want only the best. And I think that's where these kinds of rules of like home nations, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all, right? Because like, if you're really competitive, you want to test yourself against the best people. But then they kind of become closed almost by design, because you want to, you know, limit it to, so there's no wasted games, right? Like, you're only playing against the very top. And so there's that philosophy, and I guess fair play, if that's what you want.
How do you guys feel about that? Like, because I was thinking it's kind of funny that we're going to a tournament where it's like we could genuinely be playing against Team Chile or Team England or whatever.
Like, it will not be the best of the best.
I think it's a bit tricky. The thing is, not everybody can be the best of the best, right? It's only ever going to be those top few tables that are the the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need to fill the other tables with the average Joes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they necessarily see that as you need to, right? I think that's the point of view is that we don't.
If everybody's the best of the best, then nobody's the best, right?
Someone's got to come last.
Someone's got to come first. Someone's got to come last. And that's okay. It's okay to want to be the best at something. It's okay to work really hard and train really hard and be the best. We have the Olympics for a reason. We have World Cups in all sorts of sports for a reason. We have the World Series in baseball, so America can be the best in America.
Excuse me, or Canada. Why does everyone always forget about Canada?
I'm so sorry. But the point is that they booked enough space to be able to fit plenty of people so that they can still share Blood Bowl, but it's only going to be the top. It is, what did we just work it out? 94 teams, so there's going to be 50 tables. The top 15 to 20 of those are going to be the ones all vying for the top. The bottom 5 to 10 of those are just going to be people there having a good time. And then in the middle, it's kind of in the middle. That's always going to be the way. It doesn't matter where you go. It's the same at NAFC, it's the same at Water Bowl, it's the same at UKTC. Those top tables are always going to be wanting to be the best of the best. And then there's sort of like a line. There's a line there. You get the people that are really tryharding to go and be the best and win. And then you get people that are just doing, I'm going to 2+ my way through here on 6 notches and win. And that's fun.
Yeah, that's, I think,
while you're doing it.
Enjoy other things. But I think Giraffe's right too. Like, there are some tournaments now that are just like specifically about
you want to be
catering to like the tryout, and that's fine, right? Like, if that, like, if you want to have like tournaments to do that, like just amongst your sort of tryhardiest people, that, I think that's totally legit.
A lot of people see NAFC as the big one to try and win, because it is the championship, or as some people say, you know, it is the one to win. And I think that's where the difference between maybe Euro Bowl and your Open comes from, is that, like, people see that Euro Bowl is the one where you go to try hard and your Open is the one to not try hard. I don't know if everybody sees it that way. So, like, yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think that also brings it back to the point of, like, putting national teams in your Open. If you're going into your Open not seeing it that way, and then there are national teams in there who are tryharding, it's like, how does that fit into what, you know?
Yeah, what's missing for me in all of this is some sort of statement of intent. To find out from the organizers, what is it that you want, right? Because if you want the very best, then maybe, like, I am not going to pollute your pool. Like, and maybe that's not the most politically correct or, like, polite way of saying it, so maybe they would find a better way of saying it, but I do think that it would be nice to know exactly what you want, because if you want to make this like one big open community party, then, you know, that's a different story.
That's what Thrub Ball is. Thrub Ball is all about going and having fun and raising money for charity. There is competitiveness there. Yeah, they are incredibly clear about how it is all about having fun. They provide you with food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and they, you know, you're there to have fun. You've got most Thrud-like competition, which, if you've never been to Thrud Ball, basically Thrud is like this barbarian player who is just like an idiot, and so you have competitions throughout the weekend to see how like Thrud you are. So they had one where they were balancing a bottle of water on top of their head. They had to do a race where they had a watermelon in between their knees, and if they dropped the watermelon, they had to go back to the start. Just like things like that throughout the entire weekend. And it's just a bit of fun. You do camping and it's all for a laugh. No one really cares about who wins, really. But some people care. definitely not last year's winner. Not naming any names, but yeah, so like tournaments like that, very, very open. We are here to have fun, we are here to have a laugh, we're here to raise money for some great causes, and they're very clear about that from the beginning. From throughout the whole weekend, you're always reminded that it's just to have a bit of fun. And like the people who are at the bottom, you don't necessarily have to play Blood Bowl, because they have a secondary game which Glowworm has set up called Diramip. It's pyramid backwards, basically, and he's created like this whole other game that you can play if you are in the bottom set of tables, and it's great. It's so much fun. I definitely recommend going to that.
If you've like not played basketball, if you're not having a good time and your opponent agrees, that's wicked.
Yeah. So the bottom four people who agree, yeah, like you have to agree to it. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. And so Glow just goes up the tables to find somebody who will agree to play it. But it's a great game. It's a really, really fun game. And it's a really nice, like, icebreaker. If you are down on the bottom couple of tables and you're feeling a bit low, you play this other game instead. And it's like, yeah, this is just a bit of fun, bit of silliness.
Because Blood Bowl can be miserable sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah, I think all of us have had at least one experience of Blood Bowl where you just start feeling like really shitty and you don't want to do it. So
yeah. Sorry, I went.
And then the Snotlings wouldn't die. Then.
Goddamn Volcaggio.
Do you know what's horrible? I'm sat here, I'm whinging about the game, and it was the most fun game, except the Snotlings wouldn't die.
What game, Cauliflower?
It was Norse Snotlings Water Bowl.
At Water Bowl?
At Water Bowl. Are we moving on to Water Bowl?
Yeah, tell us about Water Bowl.
Okay, so we start with Water Bowl. So I did, I took Norse. I forgot about roster submission. So she had a massive panic. At 11 o'clock on roster submission day, just essentially put in my regular Norse roster. So I could take a secondary. So there's a Block Yeti, two Block Wolves, a Guard Berserker, George Valkyrie, and a Rattle Valkyrie. So nice. Pretty standard, pretty expected. But no star player, right? Absolutely no star player. I can sleep well at night. And then when I went back and read the rules, and I'm like, oh, everyone's going to be putting stars in. And practically everyone put stars in. I think the teams that didn't have stars were the exception.
Yeah, they were definitely,
So my first game I drew Ogres. And I was like, ooh, that could either go really badly or really well. Well, it turns out it went really well. First hit, killed an ogre. Knocked the other one down, fouled it off the pitch. So there's two ogres and the white dwarf left and a bunch of snotlings. And I just take this team to pieces. I cast the other ogre. I surf by turn, end of turn two or turn three. About turn nine, I surf the final ogre. I've been picking off snotlings left, right, and centre. I think I did. There was two snotlings and the white dwarf left on that pitch on turn 16. So I must have casualtied 12 of them. 10 of them were actual casualties.
Please admit it, Bango coach.
Oh, it was fully Killer Collie has entered the room. It was like she came running over telling me how many she was killed. I was like,
I'm getting on Discord. It would just be like every 2 minutes, like killed another ogre. It's just dead.
Another one dead. It's like it's on.
I won that game 4-1 and got 10 casualties. So for a fleeting moment, I was top. I was number one.
Oh. Yeah.
On touchdown difference and casualties, I was just up there. So then I played Amazons with Dribble and Dwell, and they're a bloody pain, aren't they? I did all right with the Amazons. I took a five or six of them down, and I took either Dribble or Dwell out, the one that fouls, whichever one that is. Managed to get that one down.
That's hole number two.
Yeah, pretty much. So I finished out of 5, but I did lose 2-1, at which point it was like, right, results no longer matter. I'm on 15 casualties after 2 games. That's what we're chasing down. Next, I played Humans with no star player, actually, which was interesting.
Was that... No, that wasn't D for Dan, was it?
No, I played D for Dan the next time.
Yeah, that was it.
I played in the first game of day 2.
Yes.
And I removed a lot on turn... Well, so turn 1, he threw a halfling, it worked, he scored, he was 1-0 up, fine, okay. Then it went to my turn 1, and he stacked the line against my Norse with no guard, and I've got 2 strength 4s, and I just went to town on it, to be quite honest, and I managed to KO like 9 of them. But then they all came back. Every single one of them came back.
Oh, Jack.
Do they have a keg?
No.
Right? Rude.
Right?
Rude.
I think I came with about 2 actual casualties, and one of them was that fucking halfling. I got that down. And so that was, I finished 101-2, but I was like 16 or 17 on casualties.
I think it was 16.
We thought you were
going to
win.
I was second.
Hopeful.
Yeah.
Was it the dwarves who were just ahead of you at that point?
Yeah, there was a dwarf team that was just ahead of me by about 2 casualties at that point.
Yeah.
There was definitely a Discord cheering session on the side. Yeah.
after every game I was running up, I was kind of sat there with care entering the results, and I'm like, how are casualties doing? How are the casualties doing? So I'm still entering them. I was like, this is the only way I'm going to win anything. So I started day 1 strong, and then I went into day 2, and I played B for Dan's Renegades the next time, and that was a fun game. That was a really fun game, and he's He's a lovely guy.
He runs NAFC.
He does, yeah, he does. He runs NAFC. His little boy was with him. He was like such a little sweetheart. And so he brought, his star was that tentacly one that's got tackle
double drill.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right.
It took me a little while to cast him out, but I did. Took his rat ogre out pretty quickly. He only had two big guys. He had the ogre and he had the rat ogre. So getting that rat ogre down was massive. And then it was just a case of just start picking them off. So I went one down, and then I think I didn't manage to score. But no, I did. I scored. And then, I was 2-1 up and had the ball. I was away. I was safe. And it's like, I can either sit here and stall this out for a couple more turns, or I can just score and we can have a game. So I scored. Mm-hmm. I went 2-1 up. And it's like, this is either going to end in a draw or a win. So it's not the end of the world. My record's already rubbish. I'd like to have some fun. And we did. We had a lot of fun. I managed to pull off some epic Norse passing plays and get the 3-1 win on that one. So that was fun.
That was a really fun game. How do you feel about the Valkyrie passing game?
I love the Valkyrie passing game.
That's so fun.
Yeah. So you can end-to-end with Norse. Pick up on a berserker, hand off to a Valkyrie, then pass to the other Valkyrie. The catch for the handoff has got a reroll, the pass has got a reroll, and the catch has got a reroll. Really, the only thing you actually have to spend a reroll on there is the pickup.
It's done for three passes, Giraffe. It's easy.
Yeah,
it's really easy.
Oh, it's my goodness.
We've all been burnt by that one, I think.
Yeah. Tell that to my ghoulies.
Sobs in skink. I think it works really well. Obviously, sometimes it doesn't work because it is a 3+, not a 2+. That's stinking else. But I'm really...
2+, don't worry.
that was good fun. And then, so I was kind of lagging behind on casualties then. And then I drew snotlings, and I'm like, I could just pound on snotlings and they'll just die. Except they didn't die. I think I had one casualty that whole game. So I played Vokajo, who's wonderful guy, such a sweetie. He laughs, he chats, he makes it a really fun game, but that coconut he's got can get in the bin. When he's got an important role, he's got a coconut that he uses as a dice cup, and he will throw the dice into the coconut, rattle it around really loud, like it's something from Monty Python, and then slam it down, and it works every time.
Oh, hang on.
I know, right? That coconut.
It's a magical coconut.
It's a magical coconut. It's from Monty Python, you see.
A magical coconut?
Yeah, so the bomber did work. He had Varag and he had Ripper, and it's just like I just can't. And I lost that 2-1 actually, because the one that I got, I just went fuck this shit and dodged through a lot of places with my 3+ long snotlings with dodge, and that actually works really well because they don't add to the tackle zones. And then the last game was against dwarves, and I think I killed 3, which felt really good. The only way I can win most casualties now is if I pull some sort of undead team, kill them all, they all regen, and I kill them all. That was disappointing. The snotlings ruined it. It's very disappointing.
That's such a shame, because like when you drew the snotlings, I was like, oh my god, that's the perfect draw, because she's trying to get casualties. Like, that should be the one which can make it easier for you, but...
It's always... They never die. They never die when you want them to. Played like snotlings 3 times, I think. Twice I've lost to them because they wouldn't die.
Well, I'd walked in the second day and I was like, how did your first day go? I'm like, I'm second on casualties. Oh, amazing. How are your results? I mean, that's not important. I'm second on casualties.
We have a goal here, people. This is not results.
It don't matter. Casualties.
That's part of the thing with Blood Bowl, isn't it? Is finding what you're playing for. And if it's casualties, then it's casualties.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Danny Player One and during the World Cup, and he's also really lovely person. But he was...
I played him at Chicken Bowl.
Oh, did you? He's lovely. Yeah, he was going for most touchdowns because he had pro elves, and he had the same thing. He's like, I don't care what stall, why stall, I just score. You get results.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to make tournaments fun, isn't it? Find what you want to get from it, right? Play your first game and then see what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you get 10 casualties against ogres, maybe set your sights on most casualties. If you get bunch of touchdowns, maybe go for most touchdowns. It's find the way to make it fun for you and set yourself a goal, and you'll have a great time.
Yeah. And if your goal is to foul 16 times per game, go fuck yourself.
If that's your goal. You could take the black gobbo and foul 32 times.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
My piggies did absolute work, by the way. They were incredible. They pulled.
Piggies OP.
Biggie.
Brits goals.
Ooh.
But like, what do you do in that situation? It's like, this is a 20k piece. Do I seriously re-roll this?
I was just going to say, speaking of meeting people, we met Electric Vision at Water Bowl, didn't we, Collie?
We did.
I think it was the first tournament he said he'd ever been to. So shout out to Electric Vision. He's doing amazing work over on his Twitch channel. I will link it down below because he's trying to do a lot of work on teaching people how to use and play Blood Bowl 3. He's focusing on like interface and stuff like that. I think he's actually an admin in the Blood Bowl 3 Discord now because of the work he's been doing. So yeah, that's
he didn't play, he just came to shows.
Yes.
He wanted to see what a tournament was like.
Yes.
Definitely gonna start doing it. So hopefully we can get on him and he could come to Chicken Bowl 3.
Fingers crossed, yes.
Hope so. I'd love to have him there.
He's a lovely streamer because he wasn't there for Waterfall, so I didn't get to meet him, but he seems really nice.
He's sweet.
He's so
sweet. That was my Waterfall adventure. I didn't win most casualties, but I gave it a good go. I gave it a really good go. Oh, my dwarves also had Cindy. The dwarves are playing.
Oh, Cindy Pie Whistle. Yeah.
I went from Volcargio. I saw it for Deeper Dan, solid player, into Volcargio. Solid player into apparently Stymie, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, one of the best players in Germany.
Oh dear.
Well, at least you had that was my day three.
You had some quality opponents.
And I managed to KO like four dwarves. It is harder to KO a dwarf than it is to injure one, and I did it more than anything else.
The dice were really not on your side at that point, were they?
They were not. It's like, you can remove them, but they're not going to stay gone.
You want to injure them? Sorry, not happening. No, I didn't play at Waterfall either. I was there doing some admin work for various different things, but Day Day was playing on lizards that kept snapping. And I don't mean in-game, I mean the models kept snapping. So I ended up being a wandering apothecary, as we were joking. So we were joking like on the way up, like, oh yeah, I could be your apothecary, and you know, I'll sit, you can only use it if I'm sitting there, so if I wander off because I get bored, you can't use the apothecary for those turns. But then it actually ended up being I ended up sitting there trying to fix his models while he was playing, so it ended up kind of coming a little bit true, which was quite funny. But yeah, so he went bang average at 2-2-2, so he had a fairly decent tournament.
Well done, Day Day. Proud of you.
Campaign to get Day Day a new lizard team.
I think we'll be.
Missions will go.
He does have another one. It's just that this one was a rainbow painted team. But yeah. But one thing we haven't talked about is Thrud Bowl. Not Thrud Bowl. We've talked about Thrud Bowl. We haven't talked about Strangle Bowl. Strangle Bowl is one we haven't talked about. Where Collie and I went all decked out in neon coloured tutus and leg warmers and all sorts.
Are there going to be pictures posted on our website, Patreon, something?
We will put the pictures up on the Patreon, yes. So.
Do you know that bright red lipstick that I bought for it? I lost it.
Oh, no. That's annoying.
I was really gutted. But, well, hey ho.
What is Strangle Bowl for the uninitiated?
So, Strangle Bowl is a one-day tournament in Leicester. So, we've talked about the World Cup, which was 3 days, which is a hell of a lot of Blood Bowl, I will say. Like, that is long for Blood Bowl. And then you've got the most of the tournaments that we have done are all two-day tournaments. But Strangle Bowl is an example of a one-day tournament where you're just there for that Saturday or Sunday. It's usually a Saturday, can sometimes happen on a Sunday, and they have a special rule of a star player that you can use. Not every one day tournament has special rules, but Strangle Bowl has team.
Yeah, so whoever loses the kickoff gets to choose if they want the champ or is going to give it to the opponent.
Yeah. And he's got like special rules like strangle, because obviously it's Strangle Bowl, which is essentially a stab.
Can't die.
Yes, you can't die from it. I haven't got the rules like for him in front of me, but he's got like a bunch of different rules. I think he's got. Has he got a dirty player? I think you can foul with him, can't you? Yeah.
I use him as a fouling piece.
Yeah. So he's pretty cool. He can't, like you say, can't die. And yeah, so I took halflings to Strangle Bowl with Acorn the Squirrel and had an amazing time with them. I won against Nurgle in my first game, so I started off really good with that, and then proceeded to get absolutely shit on by Skaven teams for the next two games. So I ended the day 1-1-1 for that one, but I had a great time, and it's a really good little tournament to go to for one day.
It was great fun, and I got some absolutely magnificent dice for my wonderful friend.
Tell us about the dice.
Well, there's a lot of swearing on it. I don't know if I'd ever actually use them, but I saw them and immediately thought of you.
Ooh, I like swearing. I've been known to say a swear word. I thought you were talking about the dice you got from your friend Giraffe.
Oh, yeah.
That's also one. Yeah. So
I got some magnificent dice off my friend
Giraffe.
Have
you been using them?
I did use them at Waterfall.
They are for selecting used.
Then there was a child present, so I put them away. They're like, oh yeah, we'll put those away. And I was like, yes, thank you for putting those away. I used them most successfully in my league game against the team of all.
Against
an adult. And I have to say, there's nothing more satisfying than saying, that's a pair of dicks.
Yeah, those were some fun dice on sale at the World Cup, and I saw them and I thought of Carl.
We found World Cup merch.
Yeah, I've got a drinking horn. So
what else did you get?
You should actually talk about all the things you got. For the listeners here, I gave Graf and Tree 50 quid essentially and said, go and get me merch, get me stuff. And they've got all sorts back. So I have a drinking horn. I'm rolling around on my chair now to get to the shelf to see what, to remind myself what we got.
Quite have some memories.
So there was the drinking horn. I got a Norse drinking horn because I've been doing a lot of Norse. And then there's
a mug.
There was a mug with double skulls on it. It says, crying is a free action. I use that every morning. I have to go through the shelter because there was
a little wooden token.
A wooden token.
Yep. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say what it was of.
Trying to remember. They're plastic.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they're in my hand now. They are.
Butthole. Yeah. We're not totally sure where that was from, but that's what they were.
So funny because we saw them. I'm sorry, we have to explain this. We saw them at the World Cup, and they were like these tokens that, like, I saw them. And I was like, is that? And I didn't ask the people at the stand because there's all sorts of vendors at the World Cup, which is really fun. I went and got a Giraffe, and it was like, what do you see
here? Excuse me, the expert in all things butthole. Yeah.
And they just confirmed it. They were just selling tokens of buttholes. There was a whole story about it. I can't remember what it was anymore.
It's relevant to some game, apparently. There was a big ape. Yeah, there was a big ape.
Or something.
Yeah, and I don't remember what exactly it did, but...
If people would like, I will put these on the Patreon as well. So if anybody would like to see these tokens...
They also got me this lucky bag, lucky dip sort of thing, like a mystery mini, and I think it's a cheerleader. Oh. It's like an Amazon holding up a scoreboard.
We got this one as well. We got both you and
yeah.
those.
Yes, yeah.
So that's there. Then there was the World Cup blocking dice.
Speaking of dicks and buttholes, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen the World Cup dice... Tell me, what do you see when you see the push symbol in the block dice?
I need to find them. What are you doing to me?
That one's a little bit more, you know, certain people's minds work one way and certain people's don't. But once you see it, you cannot unsee. Anyway, the World Cup push dice is our penises.
Sorry, Polly. Is it hard to find all of your things in your mansion?
It is hard to find all of my things in my mansion. Oh, yeah, I see it. That's a very pointy dick.
Floppy, but it is pointy.
It depends which way you hold it.
That's also true. I mean, as is true in real life, I suppose. Anyway, too wholesome until now. I needed to fix.
Yeah, we've suddenly taken a bit of. We dove into the non wholesome content quite quickly, didn't we? There.
It's uncomfortable with too much wholesome, so.
Necessary. I think it would be a podcast if it was all wholesome. The podcast listeners, I mean, everyone's probably heard it on my stream. Podcast listeners haven't heard about me being in the World Cup.
And sorry?
Wait, say that last bit.
Me falling out of my bra in the most on-brand thing that could have happened to me in a World Cup.
Wait. Say that again. I misheard that. What?
Well, okay. So imagine something falling out of tree's bra. What do you think it is? If you had to guess.
Something. Well.
If something fell out of tree's bra, right?
Yeah.
People might store some important things in their bra.
Like phone or wallet.
Who hasn't done that?
Some of us tree don't really have much space in our bras.
Some of us don't have the requisite equipment.
Come on. Yeah. A tea bag fell out of my bra at the World Cup, which I thought was the most embarrassing thing that could happen to me, because I'd been moaning when I first got there about there not being tea in Spain, and then Runbad, as we've established, is a total sweetie, had found some like actual proper black tea in Spain, which was amazing because none of the supermarkets near me. So I went to like three supermarkets, couldn't find tea. And so
the worst thing is though, Democratic Republic of Yorkshire, with our good friend Spleggy, had Yorkshire tea that they were giving out to all their opponents.
Yeah, I think I found out afterwards. I was mad about it because I would have been all over that, which would have been much nicer than what I got. Having said that, it was super sweet because Rambad not only found like some tea and then brought it, like a day later he was like, oh, I've seen this tea, and it was, because the first tea was, it was black tea, but it was just some random Spanish brand, and it wasn't great, but it was still tea. I was happy. And then he found Twinings in some other shop, and he was like, oh, I found this. I was like, oh wow. And I didn't really like think he was gonna buy it, but he bought that as well. So he bought like two boxes of tea to try and improve my weekend, which was very nice of him. But yes,
what a sweet tea.
I carry around big boxes of tea, so I was using
putting stuff in them in your bra.
And it was hot. It was Spain, right? You don't want to be carrying around lots of stuff. So
I'm gonna use that as a segue. Speaking of handing things out at tournaments, we are planning on gathering some bits and pieces to hand out in Greece, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
can we crowdsource ideas?
Yeah, if any of our listeners have any ideas of any merch or easily hand outable items that we could procure to get the Hey Listen logo on, please let us know. Send us your ideas on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, wherever this goes out.
What I'd be curious to hear from listeners is like, what are like the favorite things they've been given at tournaments? Because
that's a good idea
for sure. Like, I think we've talked about this before. Like, Dizzy was definitely saying this the other day, and I've talked about it with Black Hawk Down before. Like, it's obvious that you think, well, maybe get some dice with like our Twitch logos on or whatever. But
everybody has so many.
Everyone ends up with too many dice. Is the one problem with dice, right? Like, everyone who plays Blood Bowl for a while and goes to tournaments ends up with too many dice. So like, what are fun things you could give out? What are fun things
tokens
that aren't dice?
Tokens. You can never have too many tokens.
Tokens are always good.
So one token I've heard about that I actually haven't considered and is a really good idea is star player special abilities.
Oh, well, what about a weather token?
A dice for weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always
dice for weather. So like dice that, what is it, 12-sided dice? Or
but it doesn't need to be a 12-sided dice. It just needs to be sweltering heat, really sunny, pouring rain.
Nice.
They're not all the same probability, right?
No.
You put it next.
Oh, you put it the weather up.
Yeah. You don't use it to roll. You use it to show to highlight what the weather is.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's a nice one.
I think I saw someone using it at the World Cup. He wasn't giving them out. Not the World Cup, sorry, a Chaos Cup, which I'd never seen anyone do before, and which is like a good idea, was someone had like a blitz token. So whenever they said they were doing a blitz, they'd put the token down in the square they were moving from.
Because I love
they
know.
So they're blitzing and forgetting the squares they moved, where they came from.
Yeah.
And like, I've never had a token like that, so I've never used one. But I did think at the time, like, that's actually like a good idea and more people should do that.
Yeah, we should think about tokens.
What about...
Who has any ideas?
I've just had an idea of like bee cheerleaders. Like, not as a token, not as a miniature, but like as like a little stuffy toy or something like that. Like, Collie's got a little goblin.
I do. Aww. I got it from Duffins.
You did.
I'm so jealous.
These goblins, and I want
one. He is very jealous.
I'm going to keep playing Blood Bowl into like my 80s trying to get one of these.
Duffins is coming to Water Bowl. Wouldn't it be a shame if one of us got another one?
What just happened?
Not Water Bowl, UKTC. Oh.
I can't go to UKTC. I'm getting married. Okay.
Okay, think about it. Wedding for your friend versus the opportunity to get a crochet goblin.
I'm not going to name names, but at least one person has told me since I said this that they have lied about not being able to go to a wedding when actually you just wanted to go to a Blood Bowl tournament. So
no, it's not me. I just said I'm going to Blood Bowl, sorry.
Still very impressive. Well done, whoever.
The weekend of Blood Bowl, my husband, Techno, wanted to invite his brother around, and they were going to do some hobbying, basically. And we were there, and his wife turns to me and says, "Oh, what are you doing that weekend? Do you want to do something?" I was like, "Oh, no, I'm going to play. I'm going to play with other people, right? I'm not going to play with like my brother. That's lame. I'm going to go play with other people. Nerds."
Yes, definitely Blood Bowl, not lame. Very not lame.
Well, I'll never forget.
The coolest thing you can do.
Exactly.
I got Techno a 3D printer for Christmas. Oh, and one of the first things he printed was a Starship Enterprise. I don't know what. Rick asked me what kind of Starship Enterprise it was. I have no idea. It's just a spaceship.
Huh.
And when he managed to print it, and he managed to get all the supports off it, because it collapsed a couple of times while he was printing it, he came in pretending to be making the like noises with it. I'm like, "My God, will you nerd? Will you go away? I'm trying to play Blood Bowl."
This picture of the idyllic Techno Trousers household where everybody is just playing with their toys and making noises. Aww. And it's beautiful.
It's such a nice house. You have to come over, Giraffe.
Yes, you do. I definitely want to.
I've got a bedroom for you.
It's like Zoe and Wash, really. Anyway,
what? I didn't catch that at all.
Sorry, Firefly reference.
Oh, Zoe and Wash. I hear it now.
Yeah, yeah. Right? A little bit.
We're Techno is a leaf on the wind.
No.
That's what's gonna happen to Techno now?
Well, it was nice knowing you.
Oh dear.
Wait, do I remember correctly the tree has still not seen Firefly?
I have not.
Okay, well, next time, ladies, we'll come over, we'll camp out in the living room, we'll all watch Firefly.
I was going to say, ladies.
Yes.
This shall not stand.
It is, because Buffy the Vampire Slayer is also on.
So it will be, yeah.
Yeah, it's also on Disney Plus.
I had a hilarious discovery on Disney Plus this last week where I realised, this is embarrassing because I've had Disney Plus a while, I've been parent locking myself.
No.
I didn't realise that there was like an age cap on Disney Plus, and I've been like set at like
Like
stuff for 14s and unders. And so like I didn't realise they had like movies and stuff on there that are like actual adult movies.
Yeah, this is normal. Toy Story, Moana, yeah, right? And all that. This is fine.
Yeah.
And then Predator.
So someone said, I mean, this is embarrassing enough, but I have a friend, and she won't be embarrassed about this because she loves it, but I have a friend here in Brighton who, like every year on her birthday, ever since she was a teenager, like she insists on her birthday, she watches Con Air. It's a real like, 90s classic, and gets Domino's pizza. Like that's her birthday every year. And I was having this conversation with her, and I was saying was it on a streaming? And she was like, "Oh, it's on Disney Plus." And I was like, "Is it?" And so I was like looking for it on Disney Plus, and I couldn't find it. And that's when I found out that I'd just been like age capping myself out with a whole bunch of movies on Disney Plus. And I've probably had it like a year or something or more, and have just been paying for it and not had access to the actual adult.
Fireflies. Oh my goodness.
So
I'm just about to check if it's on Disney Plus in the UK.
It is in the US, I believe so.
Firefly. I'm pretty sure I've seen it on.
I'm about to look.
If not, I have the DVD, so I can bring it around.
DVD? My kids won't even know what that is.
Yeah, do you have a way to play a DVD?
All you need is a PlayStation.
Do you know how you read about age locking yourself out? So I'm on the app and I search for Firefly and it's like, "Oh no, it's not on there." I'm on the kids' profile with a max of 12.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. Firefly is there. Is Serenity on as well?
Yes.
Giraffe, I feel like I talked over you and you're saying this cannot stand. Is that just the Firefly thing or is it something else?
No, what cannot stand is the fact that you have not seen it yet. So the ladies need to, and I give my blessing. I understand that you can't wait for me to be there, but next time you guys see each other, tie Tree down and show her Firefly.
You know what, guys?
Hang out, we'll just watch Firefly.
Serenity is not on here.
Huh. Well, you gotta go.
I'm sure it is.
It's not there, unless I'm age locking myself out of Serenity.
Unless they've taken it off, I swear it was on there.
Where's Prime Video? It was on Netflix.
I have the DVD of Serenity as well if you want to watch that. Like, I have ways of watching it without having to stream it if we need to.
Well, don't worry, we will sort it.
So yeah, we've been very busy going to quite a few different tournaments. There are so many we still haven't actually spoken about. on this episode, but it's getting long enough as it is. So do we have any future projects coming up? Does anyone have anything they'd like to advertise or talk about really quickly before we go?
I don't know about advertising, not in my project, but like I'm doing a few tournaments coming up, and there is this thing called the Southeast Tournament Series. So if you're in the Southeast of England and you haven't heard about that yet, I just want to recommend Blood Bowl Southeast Discord has been like really, really great for coordinating events down here. And they're trying to do this series of tournaments where, like, if you compete in five through the year, then you get to go into this overall standings and they take your best scores. And it's a really fun idea to sort of get things going. And I've got a couple of those coming up, and definitely, like, yeah, just if you're in the Southeast of England and you haven't heard about that, Tubek has done an amazing job with that Discord. So
I have a thing. Well, this is more of a putting this out there in the universe, and then we'll see what happens. Jaylee and I have been considering making some sort of online community centered tournament in New York as well, because there are a couple things in New York in the Blood Bowl scene, but they're very quite distinct. So like, it's almost like two different sets of people. There's a tabletopper and the Twitch people, and the tabletoppers don't know about the Twitch people, and the Twitch people don't know about the tabletoppers. So there's some tournaments, but they're not a lot. We're thinking of, you know, adding to the fun. Huh. And if it goes so well this year, we would like try to make it real big and try to advertise it to try to entice people to come here. I know it's super pricey, but try to entice people to make a vacation out of it.
That'd be really cool.
To the US and,
yeah. That'd be amazing. Yeah. I would love nothing more than to come back to New York with everyone on this call.
So it'll be like a Giraffe Leave Con something. We'll
come in. No, that sounds really good. I definitely think that the US needs, there seems to be the Chaos Cup, and then not a huge much else that's like advertised out to other people. So that'd be really cool to have like a centralized sort of area. For me, I'm going to be doing a bunch of new player content on my YouTube channel, so keep an eye out for that. If you are a newer player and you have been hearing us talk about all these things and you're like, I'd like to get into that but don't know where to start, that's sort of the content I'm aiming for, starting with a what is Blood Bowl video. So keep an eye out on my YouTube for that. Also keep an eye look out for the Hey Listen YouTube. I am going to try and do a bit more streamlined content for that as well, as our social medias and all the usual places, the biggest being our Patreon as well. We do put exclusive content out on that, so please do check that out. Link will be in the description as usual. And as we said earlier, our shout out streamer for this episode is Electric Vision. As I mentioned earlier, he's doing a lot of work with Blood Bowl 3 and creating a newer player safe space for that, and like content around that, so do check him out. I think that's everything from us, so it's goodbye from me
and it's goodbye from her. Copyrighted or not copyrighted, no, it's still goodbye from her.
It's goodbye from me.
And we'll see you in the next episode, stream, video, whatever is next for us. See you later.